Hello, and thank you for tuning in to The Unabbreviated Truth with Lakia K. Hill, aka The Real Deal Hill. And for my first episode of my relaunch, I have a longtime friend, childhood friend, who has grown into just a phenomenal woman. When we talk about women and phenomenality, this is a prime example of, you know, working hard and having it pay off, but transitioning your compassion and your love into something wonderful. So I have here with me Dr. Latasha Jones, and I'm going to let her introduce herself to you guys. And then we're going to get into some conversations around the women empowerment movement. We're going to talk a little bit about, you know, our youth, the current state of our youth, and what she's been doing there as an educator, and whoever, you know, who knows what else will come up out of this. How you doing tonight?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm excited. You know, I'm really happy to be here. Thank you for inviting me into your home.
No problem.
It's such a wonderful place. We're here in her home office. So she turned one of her rooms into an office space. And it's just so cozy and beautiful. And, you know, you definitely, when you look around, you see how educated she is.
Oh, thank you.
we'll talk about those degrees, girl. You went in, but it's really great. I'm really proud of you. So tell the people a little bit about who you are.
I do appreciate it. Well, first, I just want to start off by saying Happy New Year. We made it to 2019, which is a great blessing. You know, so that's always a blessing. So remember that we open our eyes today because somebody in the world did not. So God has definitely blessed us. And I want to thank you for blessing me with the opportunity of starting you off for the year 2019, so which is a great thing. So I'm very appreciative of it. But I am Dr. Latasha Jones. I am 39 years young. I am a teacher for New York City Public Schools. I teach special education. I've been teaching for 15 years now to date. 5 years ago, I started my own business, which is called Motivated Women's Movement, which I inspire women to follow and find their power, their purpose, and unique passion in life.
Wonderful. 5 years. Has it been 5 years already?
Yes, 5 years. Just basically 5 years of, you know, us sitting down and talking about different ideas that we had and things that we wanted to do. And then, you know, on that second year, that was the follow through and a breakthrough for me. Just saying, you know what, it's no more talking about it. Let's get up and do it and put it into action.
What does that look like? I'm glad you said that. No more talking about it, because I found that a lot of people talk and they say what they want to do, or they say what they're going to do. They even say what they're doing. And then when you experience it, you can tell how much effort and work they actually put into it. But for your breakthrough, it came after your second year. So let's talk about the first year first, because I'm sure a lot of people out there who are just looking to either get started or maybe have started and haven't been in business as long as you have in the women's empowerment industry, they would love to hear how your growth process. So what was your first event like? Well, first, where did the idea come from?
Well, the idea came from whenever I would attend different events. And I want people to understand that a while ago, like I would honestly say like years ago, like I would always get invited to networking events. And I never wanted to go. I always made an excuse for myself, which was like, oh, I don't want to go to that. I'm tired. It's raining. You know, we always find an excuse as to why we couldn't do something. But at that time, because I was young, I really didn't understand the importance of networking. Right. Mm-hmm. And what people need to understand is an excuse is a well-planned lie. So when people give you an excuse, that means that they had to think about whatever they were going to tell you instead of just letting you know, like, hey, listen, I can't do it because whatever it may be, or I can't do it because I just don't want to do it.
Right.
And that's the thing that people have to start doing. They need to be honest with themselves from the beginning. So I never realized the power within networking. But when I did, it just opened my eyes to a whole different realm. Mm-hmm. But whenever I would go and I would attend events, people would always say, and women per se, oh, we need to have women events. It would be great to have opportunities where we can bring women together. And, you know, people would, it was just like buzzing. So no matter what event I went to, you always consistently heard the same thing. And then I started to think, and I was like, okay, what if I did these things? Because I know a lot of different people, and I meet great people, but how can I bring all of these great people together, mm-hmm. and also bringing together women who need support in some shape, form, but bring them together to where we can all complement each other? Because you never know who you can meet at these events, but I guarantee you that you'll meet somebody that can change your life from one year to the next.
Right.
So that was, you know, my take on it. But like I said, I never, in the beginning, I didn't understand the importance. But when I understood the importance and I started to go out and you started to look at different opportunities and ways that you wanted to grow and look at yourself. Like, how do you see yourself? Mm-hmm. Where do you see yourself going? What can you do? Like, people always talk about change, but what does that look like? Mm-hmm. How can you be the change that you want to see mm-hmm. in the world? What are you doing to change that? Mm-hmm. What does it look like?
Right.
So these are the questions you got to ask you.
Right. Okay. And so then you decided, okay, well, I'm going to put together this organization, Motivated Women's Movement. Tell me a little bit about the name.
I struggled with the name mm-hmm. for a minute because it was funny. I was like, I wanted to find something that I felt stood out. So I was one day, I was talking to one of my best friends, Jasmine, and it's crazy. It's amazing how you meet people and y'all just click. So I met her and you know, me and Jazz was talking about it. And she was like, no, she's like, sis, I love that idea. It's great. I'm with it. And one of my other best friends, she was still working in London. And I started sharing it with her. And she was like, no, I love it. It's a great idea. She was like, dang, I wish I was there to support you. But she was like, listen, I'll be watching from over here. Whatever.
Shout out to real friends that support each other.
So I shared it with Jazz. So she was just like, no, you know, we're going to sit down. So I have a notebook from when I first started and we sat down, and in my notebook, I started just drafting out like what I wanted my first event to look like, what the topic was going to be, just trying to figure out like what was my vision, what was my mission statement, you know, things like that. And, when you think about a movement, what people need to understand is, when you think about a woman, things do not move without us as women as a whole. And that's the part that a lot of women do not realize. We are important. We're the movement. So when you talk about movement shakes things. Mm-hmm. A movement creates change. And a lot of times, sometimes people have to be motivated. It only takes one person to basically initiate something or to spark some type of flame.
Right, right.
You know,
yes.
So that's what I was thinking about. Like this name, what's going to be important about this name, MWM? What is MWM? Mm-hmm. Motivated Women's Movement. We're a movement. We're coming to create some mm-hmm. type of change.
And with the synergy now, today, with women just popping up, moving and shaking and doing some great things that really truly impact the lives of others and communities, what better than to, it sounds like it's like an umbrella of a space for everyone. It's not necessarily that you're saying you have to be a part of like that you are a motivated woman and you're part of my club. No, this is for you and whatever entity you are in and you are a part of. And everyone just falls in under that. Is that how you intended it for it to be? Like an umbrella for women who are moving and shaking and doing things and empowering people, and also to be influencers as well to others who are like-minded?
Well, you know what? The funny thing is, when I first started looking at everything, that's not what I looked at it as in the beginning, mm-hmm. but that's what it has become, like a network within a network, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. But and this is what I want people to really think about it. When it comes to us as women, we have to carry children. For those of us that are parents, we carry children for 9 months. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. If we don't eat right, you know, everything that we take in, our children take in. They feed off of our emotions, everything. So this is why I said it starts with it, with us. Mm-hmm. It starts with us because we have to carry these, we have to carry our children. If we don't carry children, if we don't produce these children, how are the children going to be born? Mm-hmm. So I wanted to create a space where we can make sure that people can come into the space. They can be transparent with one another, but they don't have to worry about being judged by somebody. Mm-hmm. We can come in and we can share our stories with one another. We can share experiences with one another and not have to worry about being judged by somebody in a room. Because we all know that us as women, we can be hard on one another. But what if we take that energy and we flip it and make it into something positive where we can actually take somebody's pain mm-hmm. and turn it into something that is passionate mm-hmm. and spark some flame mm-hmm. that they wanted to do something to get started with. Mm-hmm. You understand? Mm-hmm. So now when I have these, you know, events, now we're bringing women together, you know, women from all different types of backgrounds, people that are looking for something. Sometimes people come in, they don't know what they're looking for. I just saw this event and I bought a ticket. I wanted to come see what it was about, mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm. And then you have your main supporters, you have new supporters and so forth. You have friends that bring friends, you know, just, hey, I'm going here. But how can we help you? And that's what speaks and resonates to people. And every year I try to add on something new. Mm-hmm, so mm-hmm. when I started to look at it, it's like, wow, this is a network within a network that is offering an umbrella of things because people are coming in mm-hmm. and they're leaving with such a wealth of knowledge that they had no idea that they were going to leave with.
Right. They're leaving with answers. They have takeaways. So it's not exactly. They just came to have a good time, eat food and whatever else take place. They actually walk away with something yeah. tangible to put into practice. Now you mentioned something that I think was really powerful. You said sometimes women can be hard on each other, mm-hmm. right? Tell me a little bit more about that and what you mean by that.
What I mean by that is, like, a lot of times if we, right, as women, if we may see somebody out in the street and let's say somebody's hands may be ashy.
Come on now.
Let's say they zipper might be down. You know, it could just be petty anything. They walk in, they might have went into the bathroom, tissues on they feet. The whole point is, why does somebody have to be my personal friend for me to adjust their crown, for me to fix their crown? Somebody should, if I see somebody in the street, hey, sister, you need some lotion or whatever. Your money in your back pocket is about to fall out or whatever. Or maybe somebody, they might have on an outfit that's just not for them. Maybe somebody might have walked out of the bathroom and they forgot to pull their skirt down and the skirt might be lifted up. Mm-hmm. You know, why can't we as sisters just help each other out, pass somebody on the shoulder and say, mm-hmm. hey, listen, let me help you. Let me fix you. Mm-hmm. Make suggestions that can help somebody be better mm-hmm. when we see somebody, you know, going through something or struggling with something. Right. Why is it that if we know somebody's going through something or struggling with something, it's so much easier for us to talk about them and down them when we're not trying to be a solution to whatever problem they're having. You understand? So, you know, and I'm no perfect Patty because we all went through certain things, but we just have to look at a lot of things and say, how am I treating people and how do I want to be treated?
Right.
And you just treat people how you want to be treated. And, you know, we see a lot of things, you know, even sometimes when I'm at work, sometimes people say things and it's like, listen, that's fine, but that's not what we have to do. That's not how we have to treat each other. That's not how we have to talk to each other.
Right. That's not important. And that's not what we're actually here for.
Exactly.
Right.
And, you know, we just, you know, a lot of times we can just be really hard. And sometimes in the way that we deal with people, whether we're talking to somebody and some people, you know, are very aggressive talkers. Some people talk with cursing. Mm-hmm. Some people can't take that. And some people are more expressive mm-hmm. in letting people know how they feel. And some people are not. Right. And a lot of times some people in the way that they speak to others in their tone, just things like that. Sometimes we don't know the power in our conversation and our words voice. And how we shut people down.
Yeah.
And that's because a lot of times we may not be paying attention to it.
I've actually struggled with that myself. I'm a very aggressive talker, even though I've been that way since I was a kid. Just a very strong, loud, powerful voice. And it was a manager of mine's who brought that to my attention when I used to work as a teller at Wachovia Bank and talking to the customers. And then also, like, if you could tell when I wasn't happy, right, in my tone in addressing her. And, you know, but she saw how great I was and she knew I just need a little refinement, you know. And that was my first introduction into enrichment, because when we do women empowerment events or when I attend them, that's what I see. I see this as an enrichment opportunity for me. And I learned that basically first from my job. And that's when I learned about Myers-Briggs, you know, my personality type. And I was a teller in a room full of investment bankers, personal bankers, and market and district managers. I was the only teller there. But she saw fit. She talked to our branch manager and she got permission. She saw fit for that to be a space for me in, because she saw me in the future. You know, that's who I would be. But in order to get there, I needed some refinement. And then here's a new lifestyle. Here's an introduction into a lifestyle of becoming better, right? And that requires some training and it requires some information. And so that's how I see women empowerment events. And sometimes I can't, but now I want to move into going from the first one to the, now we're in your fifth year anniversary. But for me, there's only but so much empowerment in an area that I need. You know, the rest after I get it, the rest for me is just either about practice or maintenance. And what I found was, what stopped me from going to a lot of events was I was getting the same thing. And it was, you know, there wasn't nothing for my next level, because it's a growth process, right? So in your events, can you tell us, what do you do or what do you incorporate for people who may be in different spaces? You know, so I break it down as a beginner, intermediate, and then continuous growth, because we're always forever learning. Some of us fall back, but it doesn't take us as long to get back on track as others when we're talking about, you know, becoming a positive, productive, because that's what it's about, being positive and productive and, you know, just living a great life. But what do you do and incorporate in your events to ensure that, you know, people are met where they are?
So, like, let's see. So, prime example, my first event that I had five different speakers, right? One of my speakers was speaking specifically about mental health, which mental health is a real issue. But then she also raised awareness in the room, because a lot of people were not as informed mm-hmm. with mental health as they thought they were.
Right.
You know, so that was one area. So my focus is, like, from the first event to my second event and now my fourth event, what I always try to do is try to bring in somebody that can meet people on their level, but speak to their level of truth, their level of commitment
right.
in terms of where they see themselves. So, like, my third event, what did we focus on? My event last year, we focused on, you know, real life experiences and loving yourself first and putting you first. And sometimes people don't realize that in order for us to grow, we have to go through selfish moments at mm-hmm. times. Not because we want to be selfish, it's just because, wait a second, right now I have a focus and I have a commitment to myself. Mm-hmm. In order for me to be 100 and to be clear to take care of other people, I have to take care of me first.
Right.
And I'm no good to anybody else if I'm not right,
right
first and foremost. You know, so now this year, you know, my focus is, you know, focusing on helping people, because a lot of people struggle with their finances.
Mm-hmm.
So now the focus is helping people regain their focus on their finances. A lot of people struggle with credit. Some people have no credit. Some people are trying to rebuild their credit. But then also you have a lot of people who would like to seek services for credit repairing and they don't know how to, because mm-hmm. you have, like, it's so much fraud everywhere that people are scared. You really don't know who's legit and who's not. Mm-hmm. So I have a young lady, and one of my closest friends, my NCNW sister from the National Council of Negro Women, Audrey Washington, she's coming wonderful. In, and she wrote a book on understanding money, you know, money management. And she also does classes and counseling and things like that. And this is things that people need. So she's coming in and she's speaking to people for free, not charging them anything, and she's going to give them tips on how to increase your credit score by different things. You know, that's one aspect. Mm-hmm. Then also I have my aunt coming in. She's speaking. She's a pastor. She's a pastor down in New York City. And, you know, sometimes you have a lot of people that need to get their spiritual healing on. Mm-hmm. You need to be in alignment. Mm-hmm. You know, we're mm-hmm. here to rescue you. We're here to rescue your mind, your body, and your soul.
Oh, yes.
For 2019.
Yes, the rescue.
Yes.
So tell us what the acronym for rescue is, please.
So my acronyms for the rescue are renewal, empowerment, success, creativity, unique, entrepreneurial spirit. So the goal is to help people focus on themselves. How can I rescue myself for 2019 mm-hmm. to make sure that my 2019 is better than my 2018, but also to make sure that my 2020 will be better than my 2019?
Right.
Because we need to start looking at life. Life has its ups and downs. Life has difficult choices that we have to make, but we need to find ways to put ourselves in better positions. Mm-hmm. And that's what this year is focused on. That's what the rescue is about. So how can I put myself in a better position? And what is that going to look like for me?
Right. Now, what do you think that we can improve in the industry, based on, so you said you attend a lot of events, you still attend events. I see you out there supporting other women and supporting other people in their events. And you have these different themes and topics for your events. So the first one was, what was the first one again?
My first event?
What was that? And I was actually a speaker, and I can't, it was the very first event, so it wasn't necessarily a particular theme, remember?
It was a theme.
You had, it was?
Yes, it was. It sure was.
Okay, let's look at that.
Building a stronger you.
Building a stronger you, yeah.
Yes. My first event was building a stronger you.
Okay, wait a minute, guys. So tell me a little bit. So, okay, the doctor has just got up and she stepped up and went over to her desk and pulled this book. Now, this is a notebook, all right? This is no fancy planner. It's just your standard notebook. And inside of it, when you open it, it has post-its on there, different color post-its from the very first page. So every page is written on, this is big. So every page is written on front to back. She has business cards stapled with notes next to them. She has writing in different colors.
I like to write with color.
I see. She has different papers stapled to it and glued to it. I mean, this is a real working. Oh, and as you turn the pages and you keep going, you see receipts, you see more business cards with notes. Tell me about this. This is what I'm interested, and I think the people would be very interested about this standard notebook, nothing really fancy, a regular notebook about maybe 400, 500 pages. And it's full all the way to the end almost. She only has like a very few little bit of pages. Tell me about this book. What is this? What is this notebook?
So this is my planning notebook.
Mm-hmm.
What's so in it? When I first started, you know, I wanted to make sure that I had my notebook. So like I talked before, like when I was coming up with a name, I wanted to make sure that I had a mission, I had a vision, but then I also wanted to make sure that I was planning it out. What did I want my event to look like? What did I want to offer women? And, you know, I wanted to look at all the possibilities. But then also I needed, you know, you have to have a team. Who is my team? What is my team going to look like? So whenever I would go out, you know, I would just meet different people. So people would give me their cards. So as I was planning, like, I would just write out my ideas and things that I wanted to do. And what is it going to look like? What were my colors going to be? Positive notes. You know, just things that I needed to keep in order, you know, because I wanted to just make sure that I kept everything to do with my business stayed in this notebook.
Okay.
So anytime that I would meet different vendors or people that I felt could add value to something I was trying to do, I would save their card. And I just made sure I put it in my book because I wanted to be able to go back to reference it. Because gotcha. A lot of times we take cards from people and it's just a card. But where did you meet them? What's the importance of the card? So that's why, like, I wanted to make sure the cards that I taped in my book were people that I needed to get back to.
I'm gonna take a picture of that.
But then as I started to write, what I wanted to do was, I wanted to make sure that when I sent out emails, I wanted to make sure that I was not only speaking to our English population, but that I was also reaching out to our Hispanic population. Because if you notice in my book, I have things written in English, but then I also have it written in Spanish.
Yes, I do see that.
You understand? Because you have some people that, you know, they're bilingual, but they like to read
in their language, right? Yeah. Yes.
So
there's no language. Now, this is what I find interesting that I can say I see stands out is that you're not only addressing the language barriers, and you're saying, like, there's none here in this movement.
Like, I don't want people to feel like, oh my God, I can't come and be comfortable. No, you can come and be comfortable. You can be you. My events are not just for women. I've had, you know, men start to come and attend my events because they became intrigued and interested. You know, I have other, you know, other outside, you know, gay people have come. You know, everybody is welcome. I'm never going to look at somebody and say, oh no, mm-hmm. you can't come in here. If you feel that you would like to attend, mm-hmm. everyone is welcome. There is no type of barrier that is going to stop somebody from coming in and having a good time and feeling comfortable.
Mm-hmm. And accepted.
All is welcome.
Got you.
Transgender, everybody.
Now, I want you to tell us a little bit about where you're from, because you have a very strong accent. Has anyone ever addressed your accent? Well, I know it's
people
not an accent, but I get people. Listen, I'm going to have listeners. Oh, I do have listeners actually that are from like different places that are going to be from even more. I'm speaking into existence for 2019 international listeners. And so they would say, hey, you know, I know you're a New Yorker. You have an accent, but your accent is stronger than mine. So has you said, and people always say I have an accent. So what do you?
Well, that's because if I go, I don't know.
Where you
I
from?
Really don't. I mean, I'm from New York,
right? What part of New York?
Well, I mean, my family is from Harlem, but my mom, before we moved to Yonkers, we lived in the Bronx. And, well, no, technically, if we want to get technical, my family is from South Carolina. Mm-hmm. Eddie Stowe in Charleston. That's where my family is from. My grandmother moved up here years ago. And when my grandmother moved from South Carolina and moved up to New York, my family lived in Harlem for a lot of years. Lincoln Projects. They lived all through Harlem. When my grandmother moved from Harlem, my grandmother moved up to the Bronx in Edenwood Projects. My uncle still has that, my grandmother's apartment where me and a lot of my family members grew up at. I used to go to the school down the block, PS 112. That's a different name now. And when my mother moved from there, we moved to Yonkers. I was like 5 years old when we moved to Yonkers. And I was like pissed off. I'm like, why do I have to move to Yonkers? I'm going to stay. But I would still go back and forth between the Bronx, Manhattan, and Yonkers. So mm-hmm. like, even though I went to school up here on the weekends, I would always go downtown, you know, in the city with my family. Mm-hmm, so mm-hmm. even like my grandmother, she had 10 kids, 5 girls, 5 boys. So when my grandmother moved to the Bronx, a lot of my family, my aunts and stuff, they still lived in Harlem, some different sides of the Bronx. So my family was just big. We could just go wherever you had a choice.
Okay. So moving back to that real quickly, has anyone ever told you that you had an aggressive tone, or have you ever felt that because of your accent that people have judged you differently or looked at you differently?
Sometimes, yes. In my experience, my years of growing up, I think a lot of times people tend to take my passion for something as aggressiveness, because a lot of times when we believe in something and we're speaking on a topic with such passion, mm-hmm. people mistake it for aggressiveness. And mm-hmm. a lot of times, you know, we are not aggressive. It's just that the topic that we are speaking on is very dear to us. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times the way that people say things at times may come out aggressively. And, you know, a lot of it, as we talked about earlier, goes back to getting to know you better and figuring out ways that you know, it's not what we say, it's how we say it.
Right.
But finding ways to be a little bit more considerate so that we don't hurt other people's feelings. And right. this is something that I had to learn over the course of the years. It didn't just happen overnight.
Right.
Because I used to be very raw and upfront. So a lot of times, I really didn't understand why people would get upset at me when I told them. I would say, like, okay, that doesn't look right. I don't like the way that looked. But that was me being a friend. Like, I don't want you to go outside and you don't look right, and then you'll be upset. Mm-hmm. But it was just the way that I would relay the message. The way that I relayed the message wasn't correct. So right. people's feelings would get hurt. Mm-hmm. So what I needed to address was the way that I was delivering the message in order to get the message right. across clearly.
Good. Is there anything that we've come to our marker? Is there anything that you would like the listeners to know? Let's get the time and the date of your rescue event. Oh, wait, before that,
because you got this. Though. But look. So my second event,
yeah, the title that's what I was gonna say.
Breaking through barriers.
Yeah, I wanted you to give me wait, stop, because I want you. I meant to do this. So this is sort of live. I don't know if I can edit this out. I don't care, because this is authentic. That's what the Real Deal Hill Show is about. Everything is real here and authentic. There's no whatever. All right, I want you, because you have this book and I know you have it. I want you to tell me what the name of the title of your first, second, third, and fourth events are, going in that order. So the first one was
the first one was Building a Stronger You. The second event was Breaking Through Barriers. The third event was Love Yourself First. And the fourth event is The Rescue.
The Rescue. I love that. No, yes. I love that. So Building a Stronger You, you build yourself really strong, raw. Okay. And then now, you know, you got to break through some barriers. How are we going to do that? How are we going to get there? All right. Then you get burnt out sometimes, because breaking through something, you get real, real tired. You get mm-hmm. drained. Sometimes you forget about yourself because you're so passionate about it. And then, okay, we're going to break through these barriers. But hold up, pause, wait a minute. We got to take a little break and kind of be selfish a little bit mm-hmm. and love ourselves first. That's that, you know, self-care, which is really big right now. And it's so huge and so important. And when I say big right now, I mean in awareness, because some things are trends and some things are just what they are, awareness, and they need to be set. And that's what I love about the self-care movement right now, or the self-care awareness thing that's happening, because you know things catch on and people start talking about it more, so that's where we're at. But then, and now it's the self-care, now we're ready to go back out there and do the rescue, because we're whole, we've taken care of ourselves, and now we got to just get ourselves straight again and get back on track, and we could do it together. And I love to tie things together. I'm a person who thinks in patterns. I think everything in life is intertwined and interconnected, and that there are no coincidences.
But you got to remember,
nothing is
something
by accident,
right? In December, you know, people celebrate Christmas, right? So what people need to look at, and a lot of people don't look at it this way, but I need the listeners to look at it just like this. If you look at every month on the calendar except for August, it is a holiday in which people are going out and putting money into the economy, right? December is the time of the year in which people spend the most money and they go into the most debt. Why? Because it's Christmas and they want to make sure that their kids have. So a lot of people wind up spending beyond their means. So now when we come into January, now people are like, oh my God, I got to do my taxes because I got to pay off all of this debt that I just spent in December, right? So that's one of the main reasons why I wanted to do the rescue. Some people need to be rescued. Like, how am I gonna do this? But what precautions, what steps do I need to work smarter, not harder? Mm-hmm. How can I set myself up for success instead of regress? Like, you understand what I'm saying? Like, these are the things that we need to focus on to make better decisions and better choices when it comes to our pockets.
Okay, I love that. And it's really important. I really hope I can be there. I'm going to try to make it down because I do need that. And sometimes that awareness thing we were talking about with ourselves, I can think I do know everything because I was this, or I do that for myself and other people. I can do it. But I've learned to come to this place in my mind, in my body, in my spirit, in my soul, is that, Lakia, no, you don't know everything. And just because you can do something for someone else, it's actually really harder to do that same thing for yourself. So we all need a person, or we all need, again, going back to the importance of enrichment. And that's what I love about the Motivated Women's movement. I'm so dedicated and so loyal to, you know, your vision. And I hate that. Sometimes I hate, we talk about this all the time, that I'm so far away. And I'm trying to get you to come up to Syracuse. And I think I found the perfect person to connect you with. Her name is Tommy Billingsley, but we'll talk about that off of this. Where now, remember I said I got to find somebody up here that it makes sense that I can match you with, where we could have something really big and powerful.
Definitely.
Fearless Queens, I'll make sure I put you together with them. But I think that's the movement, because it's, you know me, I like to move on the spirit. But anyway, I'm really, really excited for this event.
Me too.
Tell the people, I hope and I pray that everyone takes this opportunity to purchase tickets. Don't wait till the last minute. That's another thing. Don't wait till the last minute to purchase tickets for events.
Yes, because the event is going to be at a catering hall. So I always have to give them numbers. So, and this is why I always stress that I don't take money at the door, because the day of the event, I don't want to deal with a whole bunch of money at the door. I don't want to do that. Nope.
What are the cons for that? Like, how? Because I don't think people really understand the importance of purchasing tickets ahead of time for these types of events. Why it's important? What's needed for it? And what does it? What happens on your end that we don't see when we delay in purchasing tickets?
Well, a lot of times, what happens is when you are having, you know, events, you have to look at it like just like a wedding. When people go to a wedding, they ask you to RSVP. And the reason why you RSVP is because people need to know that you're coming. You know, give or take, you might have a few people that purchase tickets that are unable to come, but you want to make sure that you're close in account. So, for instance, you know, I don't want to pay for seats that are not going to be occupied. So I make sure that, okay, if I do have people that may show up to the door, because you always get one or two that just don't pay attention or just don't know. They may just show up. So you always pay for a few seats, but I don't want to have 20 seats. And I think a lot of times, you know, it comes down to the timing, because people, based on their schedules and availabilities,
right,
they may be available. Sometimes last minute things come up. But this is why a lot of times we need to make sure that we look at our schedule to plan effectively, to make sure, like, okay, if I can come, I'm able to come and I can purchase my ticket, because I have to give them numbers, right. Which, you know, you go to these places, you give them numbers, you make a deposit. So it's all about handling business and being businesslike. And that's what it boils down to.
That's another podcast. We will be talking about that, business and being businesslike and what that is. That's important.
Yes.
So I really just want to thank you once again for, you know, just being a supportive sister and allowing me to tap more into your space and sharing your story and your insight on such an important topic among us as women. And there's so much more that I can ask. I'm sure, right? We'll get there over time, but I appreciate your support. You know, you always have mine, and anything that you need that I can do, I say, you know, I will always do it. But please get the time and the date and the location of your event.
Yes, you are more than welcome. But first, I want to thank you again for allowing me the opportunity to rebroadcast you and the real heel deal.
The real deal.
Yes, the real. I will. You're gonna get it, but either way, it's real deal. So that's all that matters. That's all that matters. The real deal is in there. So whether I said it front, back, forward, sideways, it's all about real friendships, real business, real women who are doing real things. That's, you understand, right, what I'm saying? And trying to create change. So just thank you for that opportunity and allowing me to start off 2019.
Yes.
With that. So it's a great thing. Blessings upon blessings. My next event will be Sunday, January 20th, from the hours of 3 p.m. to 8 p.m. in the Bronx at Eastwood Manor, 3371 East Chester Road, Bronx, New York. It is going to be great. The tickets can be purchased on Eventbrite. You can look it up, Motivated Women's Movement, or you can pay through PayPal using the email motivatedones2015@gmail.com. Any questions, please feel free. I am on Facebook. You can look up Motivated Women's Movement. I'm also on Instagram, MWM_2015. The same for Twitter, MWM_2015, as well as my personal page, Dr. Latasha Jones. You can inbox me and ask me any question that you would like. Tickets are $45, and that includes your price of the meal, and the information that you will receive, it is priceless, and you will definitely go home full, and it won't be from the food.
All
it
right.
Will be from the knowledge.
Hey, I love that. Okay, and so thank you guys so much for tuning in and listening and supporting the podcast. Many, many blessings to you, and stay tuned for some more, for more topics and more amazing people, and be blessed. Thank you.